Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going back over. I've been teaching a series on the power of confession. And I didn't think at all I would be teaching, you know, this length on it. But there's certain things that God's opened up to me in scriptures and things, and looking at it is in the areas because of God's plan for us in this earth. While we were worshiping today, the Lord spoke to me and to bring up one of the something that in my past, in fact, I was probably maybe only born again about a year or so. And I was at work one day, and I would go down at lunchtime. Instead of going to lunch, I would go to the locker room and I would sit down. I had a Bible in my locker, and I'd sit down and get my Bible out. And I got my Bible up. But one thing I had been thinking about for a very long time, I had been thinking about the fact, you know, people say, well, God knows everything. And I don't really think that a lot of people ever really think about that. We make those statements, but God knows everything. So he's number one. When God created man, there was zero surprise to him of the fall of man. That had to be a zero surprise. You know, if God's planned to send Christ before the foundation of the world, then God knew all what was going to happen. And one of the things that we look at these things and God in God's plan. Well, anyhow, I asked the Lord about this because, you know, I found in Christianity there's certain areas of subjects that maybe we don't know so much about, so we ignore them. And I found this: when you ignore certain areas you don't like to touch in, God doesn't give revelation. You know, and people say, well, no, but you got to touch. There's one thing as I learned about Brother Hagin: the revelation he would have, he would give. And he would say sometimes, I don't know about, but I do know this about that. And I would find out he'd be teaching sometime down the road, and I'd go to one of his meetings, and all of a sudden he's talking about that. God gave him further revelation on it. And this is one of the things you do. You're going to find out in your own Christian walk, you ain't going to go very far if you just don't walk in the light that you have. If you're waiting for more, you will probably never get it. It'll never come. You walk in the light you have. This is about the life of faith. We walk as far as we understand, and God will bless you in that, in doing it. Well, anyhow, I was sitting there, and I talked to the Lord about this, you know, because people are dying and going to hell and everything. You knew this stuff was going on, yet you created man. And when I was saying that, instantly I had a vision. And I just saw in the spirit realm, and it was for a very, you know, I don't know how, to me, it was almost like a split second, but yet that it I saw, but it's like, it seemed like so much more. You know, it's weird. I don't know. You get, sometimes, I've got over in the spirit about things already, and you're only over a real short period, but it seemed like it was a long time. But it wasn't. Well, this one here seemed to be sort of the opposite. It seemed so quick, but yet what I saw, but anyhow, it's like I saw into creation, and I saw the mind of God about creation. And when I saw these words came. Man is my key to put sin away forever. And that changed me completely about theology, about what people thought about God and thought about man. Man was God's key. Do you realize you're God's key to put sin away forever? It's through man he did it. God became a man. See, there would be, if it wouldn't be for God doing it through man, we wouldn't come to the new heaven and new earth. Those things would never exist. It's because of man. God is using man. God fulfills his will in this earth. God, just think about it. Satan fell. He fell before man was ever around. But you need to understand how God operates. Now, this don't seem like it's going along in the right direction or teaching. But understand this about man. God created Adam, and he turned the earth over to him, knowing full well he did that. He did it. God couldn't just, if God had the ability to just take Satan and chuck him out and he couldn't do anything anymore, well, number one, sin existed. God wants to put away sin forever. Sin is going to be put in a location. It's called the lake of fire. And it will be in that place. It won't be it exists. God don't make things not to exist. The spirit realm exists. When Satan, Lucifer, was in heaven, God gave him authority. God did not take it from him. When he fell, he still had his authority. You know, we say, well, when man sinned, he lost his authority. Well, man didn't lose his authority. It's who he submitted his authority to. We need to understand. He submitted his authority. Where Satan, he allowed Satan become the head here in the earth. That's why he's called the God of this earth. Right now, God is not the God of this earth. He doesn't control the thing. It's under Satan. Man is the one that's going to bring things under submission. This is why God had to become a man, to bring this under submission. To put away sin, God had to have a legal authority to put Satan away forever. And God did something. Up until the time, as we know, we talk about this earth, up until the time God created a physical realm, Satan wasn't being dealt with. God did what he did by putting men and putting an earth. Satan never saw it because our earth existed before we came on the scene. It existed here. God was working all the time of setting the stage to judge Satan. And man became the key. God used the natural realm, which is really strange. We think of this as the less powerful realm. And in a sense it is. But this is the realm that God trapped Satan. And he did it through human beings. Amazing. It is an amazing thing. Our importance, and this is why man doesn't understand his importance with God. We don't understand. You know, I can't wait till I get to heaven to start to understand some of these things, to be able to see the depth of God's wisdom in doing what he did. I thank God I got some glimpses on this side, but I realize this. Boy, there's a lot more to this thing. But God's wisdom is phenomenal. But you need to understand your place. We in this earth are operating under a place of authority, and we need to understand. This is why the power of confession. The church knows little about the subject and does very little about it. We don't realize that down here in this place is where God responds to. Heaven doesn't move here. Why? Because it's man has authority here. Man is the one in charge. God never usurps authority. Never. God puts His Word in the earth to get us to hook with His words and believe them. And when we say His words in the earth and say we want Him to do that, He will do that. He has authority, which came from us. God can't do, I was born and raised in churches. God can do anything He wants, and God can do it. And you know what? Their lives live like God could do anything He wanted. They live like God didn't want to do nothing. They got a picture of God by their words. Just think about yourself. You're a key operating in this earth today to put sin away forever. You are. You're valuable. You're hugely valuable to God's plan. And see, much of what we need to understand is what goes on in this earth and Satan, much of what he does is because man does not use his authority. We keep yelling at God to do something, but we walk around saying the wrong things. We're saying wrong stuff. We're not confessing. Think about what God did. From the beginning, God put prophets in the earth, speaking His words into the earth. What were they there for? God put them there. God would tell men 80 years before what will happen them going in this direction. And you know what? People wouldn't do nothing. They had the opportunity. God put His words in that they could start to confessing the covenant and they wouldn't end up there. But instead, they just kept going along. You know, God can just run the show. He can just do this. He put warning signs up and warning signs up and warning signs up. He said words. What for? So man would turn and go to His words and start saying them. Say, oh, okay, God, yeah, we don't want that to happen. He'd tell them, he was telling them years and years ahead what Babylon was going to do. What did they do about it? Well, you know, God's in control. And today, the church is identically like them. Well, see, God wanted that to happen. No, God didn't want Babylon thing to happen. He didn't want that for His... He told them the direction they're going. Lots of times what people don't understand about prophecy of things coming in the future, they can be changed. They can be changed. You know, Kenneth Hagin had a prophecy of the move of God, what God was supposed to do, and after he died, the church went changed its direction, and it didn't come to pass. And they say, well, you know, his prophecy was wrong. No, it wasn't. It was dumb Christians. That's what was wrong. Dumb Christians. Dumb Christians walked in an opposite direction and allowed things to happen that God did not want to happen. So we need to know the importance. In this day and age, let's take a hold of our mouth, because I'm just telling you this. God wants to do some splendid things. He wants to do some awesome things. He wants you to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think. Well, what is your imaginations and thinkings about things that He wants to do above that? Well, what are you saying? See, if we don't get the things that we desire or want on our mouths, you know, you can sit and dream all day you want. Ain't going to bring nothing to pass. Dreaming don't bring anything to pass. If you get a good dream, then start talking it out. Start speaking it out. Hallelujah. We want the will of God that's in heaven brought to the earth. Hallelujah. God's given us the ability to dream wonderful things and to think wonderful things. He didn't give us a mind just down here to shut it off. He didn't turn around and there's nothing wrong with it. He made us the way that we are, that we can dream and think. He's given us different abilities. And we need to walk in light of these things. But as we go on today and looking at this, because God in creation, I want you to get a picture of this. You know, if we went back over into the areas, like you went back to Genesis in the beginning, when God created the earth as we know this, we as man lives on it. You know, in the beginning of this, God was doing the talking. He was saying and making the things happen. You know, we go back, say, if we went and read from the beginning, it says in Genesis 1, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. Then it says, then God said, let there be light. And He says, there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. It says, God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. So it goes on from there. Understand this. There's no man here. God is running the show. How does He run it? By words. He makes things happen on this earth by His words. Now, if you go on and follow, when he came to the point where He created man, and He said, I'm giving man dominion over this thing, God is no longer the creator here. Now, it's man determining. Why? When He handed man the authority, God no longer just spoke and made things happen. God had to speak and get man to say His words. Why? Because the man's in charge. If you don't like certain things about your life or things that you don't like, it's about your words. It's about your beliefs and your words. When I learned that from Kenneth E. Hagin, when I learned that my words, I'll never forget, I was just a young Christian, and I'm listening to one of his tapes, and he says on one, if you don't like your life the way it is, it's your fault. And when I first heard that, I thought that was an ugly statement. But I realized today, they should have made billboards with that on it. Because everybody today, it's somebody else's fault. Most Christians, you know, well, if I wouldn't, I just didn't come out of the right family. No, that's right. And you still ain't in the right family. You know, you're the problem. When I found out, you know, and as I started going along and understanding God, I thought, man, Ed, you've been your problem. You know, you caused yourself a lot of trouble. You've done a lot of things. But I found out God gave me the ability to take my authority. He gave me wisdom to take my authority and turn around and use it to bless me and others. And that's the purpose that we have in this earth. This is why confession is so important. Just about, you know, God does a wonderful thing, sends His Son to the cross, does all of these things. And says, if you'll just confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised Him from the dead, and we turn into a new being. It's a phenomenal thing. You know, it just blows my mind when people struggle in the areas of healing. I learned this as a baby Christian. I thought, well, if God would save me and make me a new being, healing should be a piece of cake. I mean, turn me into a new creation. The church has flipped it exactly opposite. We've made our own theology. We've made God saved us, but this healing things, these are harder, or getting this done is really hard. We flipped a theology. I'm sorry. If He would save me, I mean, healings are nothing. And I want you to understand that. Healings are nothing. Financial prosperity, it's a nothing. As long as you think it's some kind of big, you ain't got it at all. To me, the big thing, He saved me and then God moved in. You'll be singing about that today. God would live inside of me and He don't want my body well? How dumb can you get? I mean, that's total absurdity. That's like, you know, I want to live in a dump. God moved in. God's living in it. Well, you know, I mean, it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, quickening your mortal body when it ain't mine, we're just struggling to hold it. See, our thinking, we've taken. Why? How did all this happen? Wrong words. God put His words in the book and men say words opposite of the book. Men are saying, men preach opposite of the book. We want, how does this stuff happen? How does it go on? It's because of men. It's like, when I first got saved, I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin say, he said, the word's so wonderful and you read these things. He said, it almost seems like a fairy tale. And you know, with the way we were raised and taught about things, you know, most of it, I wasn't raised in the miraculous. And when you come to it, and that's where we're supposed to live, we've not been trained to go there. We weren't trained to go to this place. And it was new. It was new to us walking over here, and so many people thought it was crazy. This is a strange, you know. And people had a hard time with it because people generally lived in the natural, walking along in the natural. When we read, like last week, we talked about David and his words, what he said. David was speaking certain things, and his victory over Goliath with his mouth. It was his mouth. Like I said, we have a whole army out there, thousands of men, and there's only one guy in faith. Hey, they were all Jews. They knew what the law was. They had to say, they had the same heritage. His own brothers, not a one of them. It ain't like he came out of family full of faith. He decided something. He decided something. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they crossed over. How did they in Egypt? Why were they so different to two guys out of all the adults from 20 years old? Only two guys can go into the land out of how many men were there? Only two guys make it in the land that were in that group. So I found that out. This faith, like, it isn't something that just falls on you, because if you're going to follow the crowd, you're not going to live in it. You're not going to go to it. This isn't the crowd message. The crowd message is you get saved and good luck to you. You die or Jesus comes. That's not the message. There's glory to be had on this side. There's victory to have over here. And then you're not going to face things. You are. But you will have the victory. If you set yourself in faith, you will overcome. Faith in God always works. If you say, well, I was believing God and it didn't happen. Well, if you quit lying, God will help you. No, there's times we thought we were in faith. We thought we were have something. There's things we didn't know. But you know what? When we come to faith, I found out faith in God works. Hallelujah. I don't want to believe anything else. Because I'll tell you what, your hope goes out the window. Right. You won't believe something else? Well, you'll be down here. You'll be a pilgrim's progress. You'll put the pack on your back and you'll have a burden on you while you're walking around down here. No, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not of this world, hallelujah, but I'm not a pilgrim in my world. I'm going to tell you, we're like Superman from another planet that came here. That's right. We're from another place and we're the Superman. Amen. We got to start living like we're the Superman. I'm not of this world. Hallelujah. God gave us the voice of heaven in the earth. That's what we have. Are we speaking heaven or hell? See, I watched, like, when we were going through the things here and all this fighting with Biden and all this stuff, and I watched the earth just keep cursing Biden and cursing Biden and cursing and saying bad things about it. That's not what we're called to do. Number one, my focus wasn't Biden. More people, I bet God just got fed up to hearing Christians complain about Biden. And I bet God was up there, you know, say, hey, some of you get down there and shut them people up. What is wrong with them down there? Why don't they speak to me what they want instead of complaining about what they got?
Hallelujah. You know, I feel so, the man's mind's gone. The guy don't know. You know, that you know, it's no different than going around and cursing somebody else's mind's going on. You ought to have compassion. You know, God help me in my trouble while I curse the other guy that's in trouble. Oh, wow, this is good preaching. I want you to go to Romans, the fourth chapter, because we want to look at our father Abraham. There's some wonderful things in Revelation that I want you to see this morning. God's been speaking to me about. And I want you to see this about us and who and what we are. It'll be a blessing to us. And it's concerning this thing of our speaking and what we're saying. In Romans, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Now, I want you to see this. You know, one of the things that you need to get on in your mouth is this. Faith is easy. Unbelief's hard. Faith is easy. See, I've always believed faith was easy to do. I don't think God... If God wants people saved, faith couldn't be hard. It can't be. See, this is why, you know, faith for healing is easy. It's easy as it is salvation. It ain't no different. Just as easy. But we have been trained that it's hard. You've been trained that it's difficult. So you believe that. I just reasoned when I first got born again, this stuff must be easy. Number one, I never considered myself a genius. I never thought I was the light in the room. So I figured if I could get saved, it must be easy. I just figured that. I never considered. I always thought when I got saved, I thought, you know, God made this thing so easy. It almost seems, and here's Christianity. That seems too simple. I'll never forget this. See, I come out of religion. I come out of plain people. Now, salvation to most plain people was a lot of work. To get saved, you had to work at it. And I'll never forget, you know, they had the thing as a kid. You'd go to, they'd have the altar. They have altar calls. They'd go to the altar. And what they talked about was praying through. You know, you didn't go up there and you made a confession to Christ. You didn't do that. You prayed and whined and cried and hoped God do something for you. You know, you didn't know. And loads of people would go and whine and cry. They'd go back every service. They're back at the altar, back at the altar. I'll never forget this. As a real, I mean, a literal little kid. We went to a church, and at this church, a minister called people up front, and he had them do a confession to Christ. And I'll never forget this. I'm just a little kid, a little. Sitting beside my mama on a pew, and she said, "Ah, you can't get saved that easy." Now, that might sound strange to you, but I'm going to tell you what. A lot of that's in the church today. Amen. A lot of it's in, I mean, spirit-filled people, they can't get healed easy. Why can't they? Because it's my word. You can't get this stuff easy. And it's drilled in us. It's in us. And see, I learned to remove that when I first got to be a Christian. I removed that. See, many people got saved, come into the spirit-filled life, but they bought the beliefs of the old life and they kept them. And they stacked it on. And they took it and they mixed it in and they made doctrine, but there really wasn't the freedom that is in it. And see, I really find out is I really had to change the way I was thinking when I came in. I had to really change my way. I had to see, if God is good, then He's not making things difficult. I found out this. I lived for 30 years in difficult life. Now, if Christianity is difficult, what would I want to go to for? It was a relief to me. It was the first relief I got in life. It's the first relief I got. And I didn't have to work like crazy to get it. The one thing that most people, let me just say, most people don't like education. You know, I like the education. This is what most spirit-filled people have trouble with. They don't want to ever go to school. They complained the whole time they were in school, when they ever was. And I know, when I went to Rhema, I never forget in Rhema how many students complained about going to school. Oh, man, can't wait till this is over, can't wait. I thought, man, we're here getting closer to God. We're learning about God. And these idiots think there's some. Say, man, I'm staying away from them. I don't want that whatever spirit on them get on me. I don't want to have that. And they're complaining about it. I thought, you know, we're here. You know,
They're trying to get us closer walks with God, give us revelations, we can bless somebody, and the idiots that don't want to be there want to go preach to somebody. Yeah, well, I know what you're going to tell them. Dear God. Well, number one, I know this. I needed an education. You know, Mike talked about the fact how he'd write down scriptures and he would have these scriptures. He'd write. He's educating himself. I do it to this very day. I'm educating myself. And if you're not doing that, you ain't going to go far. Because you know what? There's things, and we see in this world, there's things that are affecting our thinking. There's things that are coming along. You've got to keep yourself over on those things, on those right ways to think and right stuff. You know, we want to reach the world by griping about them all the time. God's big move in America right now is not trying to reach the world, it's trying to reach the church. God's trying to reach the church. And if the church don't soon change, He's going to step over. And He's going to live a lot of them where they're at. That happened back in the charismatic renewal. The people out there, there was people over in the Spirit-filled side thought they were so wonderful and they wouldn't pay attention to what God was doing. And God stepped right over them and went to denominationals and went to all this stuff. And He'll step over people. I'm just a big believer of what Smith Wigglesworth said. God will move over 1 million people just to get to one guy in faith. I'm a big believer in that. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, I ain't going to let Him step over it. No, I got to change. And this was, it's a constant changing in the way we think. We're always learning new things and learning. And those new things we learn, they're greater graces to walk in. They're greater blessings. And it's not just for you can have some more stuff. To bless this world. You know, I want this nation blessed. I'm convinced of this. I truly believe that Donald Trump wants America blessed more than most Christians do. He wants it more good. And I know sometimes the things that he's crazy. But I'm going to tell you what. He got a better attitude about it than most Christians do. Amen. He don't care what them other people are saying about him. All Christians do is whine about what somebody else is doing. So all they do is whine and, you know, they're doing this. I remember working. You know, I had a guy come to me one time years ago. He used to go to this church. He'd come to me and complain all the time. The people at work, you know, they swear and stuff in the Bible. I said, what do you care? I said, you're a Christian. I said, I don't expect the sinner to be walking around talking Bible. It don't bother me. They curse. Well, they use God's name in vain. I say, oh my, that's a big surprise. I'm sure you were born an angel. I'm sure you were just so wonderful. And I said, just think about it. God got to put up with you. And is He cursing you? He'd have good reason, but He's not. Why? Do you want God to use His voice to curse you? Just the same here. We need to be very careful what we do and say here. The authority that we hold. I remember Charles Capps talking about that. That he made mention about his parents lived at where they lived out in the country, but there was a house near them. And the people who lived there, they either moved or something. Somebody else bought the house, but then they rented it to some people, and they were just wild. These people would be up all hours of the night making noise and carrying on and doing stuff, and it was sort of driving his parents crazy. They're out, you know, they think they're living out in the country. It used to be a nice place. And it's just all the time. And Charles Capps come along, and he said, just understand, he went to his parents' place and are going through this. The police would show up the place, but nothing that was really done, and it was just a constant with this. And Charles made the statement about, wouldn't surprise me, that place will burn down. The next day, it burnt to the ground. And Charles realized his voice. Charles realized. Charles Capps understood voice and authority. I tell you, he was highly efficient in that area. I heard Happy Caldwell tell this story. He's out fishing with Charles Capps. And Charles Capps throws his line in, and a bass takes it and rips the line and takes his favorite lure. And he goes down and he looks at Happy and he says, that he took my favorite lure. He said, he's going to come and bring that thing back to me. And he said, They were there fishing, and this boat, fish came up and spit that lure right in the boat. Happy Caldwell was a bit shocked. See, when we see the statement, I want you to tell you, there ain't one of us here believe this, all things are possible to him that believe it. If we did, we would be saying a lot of things. We don't say things lots of times what we want it to change to or want it to be. We're talking about either what we have or complaining about what we have. Jesus said you can have what you say. And most people are saying what they have. This is what I got. This is what he got. See, we're talking about this. And we go over this thing. And I read this first scripture because this is interesting. It's concerning Abraham and faith. We need to understand this. Through faith, man became the heir of the earth. You and I are heirs of this earth. Through Jesus Christ, through faith. Through faith, you and I are the heirs of this earth. Our authority has been restored. Our authority. We're heirs of this earth. We're seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham just isn't Jews. There's two groups of people out of Abraham. There's the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens. And we're the stars of the heavens. The sands of the seas are the natural Jew. The natural Jew isn't the stars of the heaven. We're the seed. We're the faith seed. The faith seed are the stars. We're the heavenly. And we need to live and walk in the light of that is what we're doing. And he makes this statement back here. It's faith. Faith, Abraham was righteous, his seed. You and I are heirs of this earth. See, we always have people put this over to the Jews and put this up. No, we're the heirs. He's talking about faith. A Jew that hasn't accepted Jesus Christ is in unbelief. He's not in faith. He's heir to the judgment. You and I ain't. Glory to God. We don't going to see the wrath of God. You know, we know the love of God. Man has not seen. No human on this earth. You know, there's people who started to see the wrath of God. Sometimes there's people who went to hell and saw what God's wrath is looking like. On this earth, no matter what happens, you ain't seen the ugly down there yet. And you and I have been redeemed from that. These are earthly people that are in this earth that are going there. You and I aren't. We're heirs of this earth. There's going to be a new heaven and earth because of the heirs to this earth. The righteous. Amen. The righteous. Sin has messed this thing all up, but you and I are maintaining this thing, and there will be a new heaven and earth. Think about what your job is to maintain this thing here. What are you doing? Well, it's the things we need to think about. We're heirs of this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have, being heirs of it means it's in our authority. It's ours. Now you and I have already received our inheritance. We've got it. See, we're not waiting. Salvation, we're heirs of salvation. Whatever Jesus has, we got. It belongs to us. Anything Jesus won and we received, it's ours now. We have a choice that we can live in that realm here, or most people are taught in churches, I was from a kid on up, that, you know, that's when you get to heaven. Then it gets good. Well, you get to heaven, there ain't no thing up there to try to conquer or do. There's nothing there. It's about authority here. Up there, you're not going to be trying to cast devils out. You ain't going to be doing none of that. There is no sickness there, so it don't come from heaven. You never heard of the heavenly flu, so God didn't send it from up there. It wasn't here. We know what it is. It came from China. They even said so. So we know where it come from. It didn't come from heaven. It came from China. So, but the stuff down here, but you and I need to get ourselves over and understand our position. See, one of the things here's a book that Kenneth Hagin, I have it here. Most of you probably have seen it. It's called In Him. This book, you need to read it and read it and read it and read it and quit talking about what you are in the natural and talking about what God said you are. So you need to get over in this thing because it's in it. What you are in Him, this is what you really are. It's not someday. It's right now. And if you don't understand it right now, you're going to live on a low level. You're going to live beneath. You know, Kenneth Hagin wrote this. This was a wonderful revelation. When I came in the kingdom, they were teaching this a lot. And Brother Hagin taught it, but also others picked up on it and started doing his teaching. It's in him. You're in Christ. You're seated. Your authority as at the seat of heaven, at the throne of God. That's where your authority lies. Now, that's where your authority lies, and we can operate it in here in the earth. We can bring heaven into the earth because our authority is from that position. Most Christians are trying to operate in authority. They're so worried about government. They're so worried about it. We just pray about the government here. But who's really in authority? You know? The highest levels of authority in this earth are believers. You'll never convince the church of that. They're worried more about elections and everything. Hey, we want, if you understand your authority, we can change things about government. But we have to understand our position and what we're doing. We have great influence. The church Christians, spirit-filled Christians, believe highly in the devil's ability to do things. Because you know they complain a lot, so you know that they're looking at the bad things happen. They don't understand our position of authority, where we're at. As we sit in here as believers, we have direct connection to heaven. Heaven lives in us. Our spirits are one with the Holy Spirit in us. I would wonder, because most people just operate out of their mind. They're not operating out of their spirit. And even if humans paid any attention, listened to, they'd think, why don't you stop talking that junk? Why don't you start listening to something down here? Let's say something and bring it to pass. Let's say something down here is going to bless humanity. It's getting us over. See, we've left this. When I come in the kingdom, these kind of things were taught. And they've left them today. And it's become how to just live a good life here. This is not what it's about. It's about how to change this world. Amen. How to hold this thing. How to push Satan back so man can be born again. So people can come into the kingdom and God's glory can be poured out in this earth. It's not me getting a new car or me getting something. It has no importance. Not in comparison. Which do you spend the most time thinking about? You find out with people what they're thinking about. What is really important in this earth right now? You know, I don't have a thing to worry about. No matter what happens to Ed, he's going to be in heaven. Dear God. But I look around. I'm skeptical about some people call themselves Christians. It's like, man, I'm not mad. I want to go to heaven. People going to heaven. That's what you want. And we need to come down to the fact that a lot here, it doesn't really matter. You and I got it made. And we understand our authority, we'll never fear about not having enough or being taken care of, not having a good life. We want to get over that fact. Have a good life, you know. God's given me a good life. I mean, I tried hard for 30 years to mess everything up I could. You know, I thought, you know, I was trying to help me, but I didn't realize until I got saved I was really doing everything detrimental that I could for me. But you know, I had to change my thinking because I see many Christians are doing all kinds of things detrimental to themselves. And they don't change the way they think. And this is the glory of the Word of God. This is the glory of the Word of God. You know, renewing your mind's not a hard thing. Let me say this to you. The Bible talks about the Word of God being a sword. It says it divides asunder, you know, soul and spirit, joint and marrow. You know, there's nothing can divide. Let me just say this. There's nothing else that can divide the difference between soul and spirit except the Word of God. This is why psychology never reaches. They can't. They can't reach into that area. Why? Because of this. And you need to understand as a Christian. When you die and go to heaven, your soul is going with you. You're actually, in a sense, your soul and spirit are joined together. The Word of God can only show you the difference between the two. Because no man dies in this earth and his soul goes someplace and his spirit goes to another place and his body sits around. No. If you don't know nothing here, you won't know nothing when you arrive there. You're going to have to be taught. To me, I don't mean what I know. When I go there, I'm going to have to be taught. Why? My soul goes with me. What I do in my soul, what I do in my mind here to develop my mind, allows my spirit to do. That's not going to change over on the other side. Why would we need a glorified body if you ain't going to have a soul? Your soul is going to be what animates your body. It's how you think. Did you ever notice that? You can't go no further than you think. As a man thinketh, so is he. My spirit, God designed it to operate through a soul. God did the most wonderful thing. When God created man and put him on this earth, God made a being that is connected to the spirit realm and the physical realm. There never had been a being like that on the earth. That's why God, he had to do that, or he couldn't send his son. And see, the devil's going to get kicked out, and there will never be a physical realm where he could ever step into to change things. It would never exist, because now the physical is going to be glory, and the spirit is glory, and they're in one. They're in one. They're together. You're going to have a glorified physical body. Nothing like that has ever existed until Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. In a glorified physical body where there is a guy who's you get spirit and body that can operate in the physical and spiritual realm just as easy between one another. God joined it and kicked Satan out, and Satan don't have a realm to try to get into anymore. He'll have no place to go. God's full of wisdom. I don't know how all this stuff works, but I'm going to tell you what. I got glimpses of some of these things, and it's like, our God's a genius. He, and like I always say, it's a fixed system. He fixed it for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, down here a Christian might get messed up in his soul, and he might get messed up concerning his body, but he's still a Christian. He dies and gets to go to heaven. You know what? God will fix it on the other side. Don't worry. He'll get that nutty part fixed up. It'll be okay. You know? I always said, Jesse DePlantis got called up to heaven. He was up in heaven and a guy got there and he says, "Oh my God, I made it, I made it." He was all excited, you know? See, he'd been listening to his unrenewed side too much. Didn't realize who he really was. And someday that same guy is going to get a glorified body. And he's going to become whole. Hallelujah. I'm looking for the day you and I become whole. I want that glorified body. Hallelujah. We get the glorified body. That means this is coming to the end of all this other junk. This is the thing. Boy, this is happening here. Hallelujah. We step into a realm that can't be a physical realm that can't be touched and a spiritual realm that can't be touched. Phenomenal thing. God did all this. Full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. So smart. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. See, the more you learn about Him, the more exciting it becomes about Him. Hallelujah. And this is our Father. This is not a nice word put in the Bible to make you feel good. He's literally my dad. He's literally your dad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're heirs because of faith. You and I have been made righteous, just like Abraham. It says in verse 14 of that in Romans 4, it says, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect." So see, none of this is by works, folks. Do you see that? It's all, you stepped into this by faith. You know, I want you to, let's get a picture of ourselves, the life that's in us. I mean, there's such glory in us. Just because of faith. We stepped into this realm. We're heirs of this world. You look up that word world there, it's talking about this planet we live on. This is not talking about the ergon, which is used as the age, ergon. This is talking about the world. This world, hallelujah, I'm an heir of this thing. Amen. Hey, Mike, this is, you know, your property. It's your property. God, look around. This is our property. See, the church ain't treating it like our property. We're so, our own little physical worlds around us and just trying to... No, I'm going to tell you what. Aren't you tired of the devil messing with your property?
Amen.
What if we got to... You know? See, you know, I read these scriptures a lot and that stuff, but I'll tell you, God's been opening up my sight to some things. I'm thinking, dear God, we've been playing around. You know? We're just trying to rule here, you know, in our county and in our cities and our stuff and things. And God's saying, you know, nah, the world's yours. Hallelujah! Ah, glory, it's good. Well, he says here, verse 15, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. The law brings about wrath. Do you know, you and I stepped into the law, the area where it's dominated by the love of God. There's no law on this side. It says, in other words, there's no transgression. Why? Because law brings wrath. See, the wrath has been removed from us. Now, you know, if you went out here, I remember years past, it, you could drive up through, in, like, say, in North Dakota, and you could go over to Montana places. There was no speed limits, you know. You could drive, you could get out there and put pedal to the metal, drive what you want. Nobody ever got pulled over for speeding, did he? Wasn't no law. There wasn't no law. You didn't break any law. Now, I'm not going to go into a bunch of teaching on this, but I'll tell you, Christians need to start changing. The Bible says things, and we still have a lot of law thinking. And as us Christian, we stepped into the area where there isn't law. But we live burdened under law. And it holds us back. We're so worried about everything. I'll tell you what. Religion does this all the time. They make things illegal God never said. I'm going to go as far as this. I was a drunk. I had some visitations from God before I got saved. I had God talk to me so plainly and so clearly and things before I was saved. I was always, see, the reason he did, I'd talk to him about things. Because, see, I was thinking about, he was dealing with me about salvation. And I didn't know if I wanted to go that direction, but I talked and asked questions. See, remember, I was a drunk. And, you know, you can ask Wanda, I could put away some booze. I could drink a lot. And I did it all the time. You know, it was my sedative. Don't worry, Christians got their sedatives too. You know, we get so many natural things that are sedatives. And I had a sedative, you know, and they thought, Christians thought I was so bad, and a lot of Christians are as bound as I was in many senses. And you can be most bound and bound over in your area the way you think. But anyhow, I'm going on, and I started talking. Because see, I could not see myself. You know, see, I was taught religion in a certain way, you know. See, you become a Christian, you can't drink. You know, you can't do that. You know, that's what he said, you can't drink. You ain't allowed to drink. Well, it's number one. See, I had this whole thing over here about this. Now, you need to understand. I'm not saved, not talking about, but I went to God and I said, Lord, if I accept you, I said, I can't see myself of not drinking. I said, I knew I was bound. I was bound. I knew it. I said, I mean, somebody said to me, well, you got to want to quit. Well, I had the want to a long time ago. But I'm going to tell you what, I didn't realize, because most of Christianity know. I had demonic power that dominated me, and Christians, just all they do is talk to me about what they saw. They didn't know a thing. Even spirit-filled Christians didn't know a thing. I was bound by a demon. And when I got saved, that demon left me. And I'm going to tell you what, I just changed. It shocked me how I changed. It shocked me. Why? I was oppressed of the devil. And Christians thought, well, if you just don't do this, they didn't realize they're just legalists. And they sure thought they were spiritual, but they were legalists. And I went to the Lord about this and said, well, if I can't get saved, I can drink. Now, he didn't talk to me like no Christian. He said to me, where did you see in the Bible you can't drink and be a Christian? Well, I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I was raised around it. And I thought, well, all of a sudden things of Scripture came to me and I looked them up. And I was looking through them. And you know what the Lord took me through? He took me over and showed about people drinking wine. And the Bible said Jesus drank wine. He said that wasn't grape juice. And it wasn't. People say this stupid stuff, and Christians say this because they have. Now, number one, I ain't running around to drink and go and do stuff. We need to understand this, but the bondage in Christian. Christian, I tell you what, there's many Christians hooked on coffee as much as some people are hooked on wine or whatever else. They can't. Christians say, man, I can't get going in the morning without my coffee. They're bound. I was there. I gave up drinking and took up coffee. And God dealt with me about my coffee drinking. Because I drank a lot of coffee. And he dealt with me about it. One day I was out back at the church over Birch Road there. And we were out there and I'm shoveling snow. Nobody's around. It's a Saturday night. It had snowed, and I wanted to get the snow cleared away for Sunday morning. I'm back here cleaning out snow away from the doorway and stuff, and I'm out there, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're disobedient." And I knew exactly who he was talking about, because he had been dealing with me about putting coffee down. And I fell on my knees in the snow. He never told me I couldn't drink coffee anymore, but I made that decision myself. I got on my knees. I said, "Lord, I'll never drink another coffee again." I said, "You're right." I said, I'm abusing this. See, you don't want to be bound by nothing. We don't want to be bound by things. And ain't nothing wrong with drinking coffee. You know? I don't get nervous if, you know, some Christians, they'll have a drink now and then. Now, there's one thing. If you need to have something to have a good time, you're bound. I want you to understand that. It's like one Christian said to me, "Well, you know, we drink because, you know, it's good. You know, God wants us to have fun." I said, "I can have fun without it." I said, "I know what it is. I had to have fun to drink. I know what it did to me. I had to drink to have fun." You don't want to go to that place. If you can't relax without a drink, you're as bad as a person that needs a pill to relax. Something's wrong. Something's the matter. Isn't he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world? Don't you have something in you? Why ain't I at peace? Why am I not at rest? I need to get that fixed. See, just taking medication, it's just like wanting to be healed. Well, taking medication all the time to cover something ain't getting healed. You want to get healed, don't you? That's what happens. People say, "Well, I want to get off this. I want to do that." It's the same thing in naturally. See, I had to learn how to live a life. You know, you could take up, you know, your caffeine, and a lot of people don't realize how it affects them, you know, and it'll do it, and there's nothing wrong with it. My God, you know, have your coffee and enjoy it. It doesn't matter. But don't let it overtake you. Don't be one of these people who say, "Well, I just can't do something without that." When you do that, immediately stop and don't go back to it again. Till you can change yourself. And say, "No, I can have that whether I want to or not. You know, if I wanted to, I could sit down and drink a beer if I wanted to, but I don't have the want to. But the whole thing of it is, I ain't going to hell if I do it." Boy, that'll make a lot of people nervous. The Bible makes true Bible makes a lot of people nervous. Amen. It's to be able to walk in this earth and not be bound in this earth. This is the whole thing that people don't understand or don't know. It's not being bound down here. Americans are very interesting from this standpoint. We're a very addicted people. We go overboard on everything. As soon as somebody finds something that's fun to do, then it goes online and everybody's doing it all the time. Christian, non-Christian, they're just nuts. You know? It's like Christian, like here in America. You can't buy something that's a little sweet. It has to be so sweet, you know? It's like, good grief! It's like, we do that here in America. You know, we go on mission trips to other places. I buy the same products, but they're made for that country. They aren't near as sweet as they are here in America. Americans, no. We have to have 400 pounds of sugar in a Coke. I don't know. You just get as much, you shove as much in that can as you can get in that thing. You know? We have, and it becomes a thing where people don't realize is they become addicted to, we become this thing where we're driven by this stuff. And that's when I came in the kingdom. I was driven. And I'll never forget when I got saved. And the Spirit, right after I got saved, and the Lord said to me, "You know, you don't have to drink anymore." He didn't say I couldn't. He said, "Don't have to." See, I never had the choice. At one time I had that choice. But when I opened that door and let that Spirit in, I lost that choice. That thing dominated. And then God turned around. When I got saved, I got my choice back. See, this is the wonder. This is the freedom. All the things that everybody worries about this earth and is going on, God doesn't view it like we do. God's not nervous like we do. God looks at you, it's like Kenneth Hagin, you know, he talked about it. He said he wasn't going to let anything bind him. He said he would set things aside, you know. He said he got over, you know, he would drink iced tea all the time. He said, "I still drink some iced tea," but he said, "I set it a time for a while when I wouldn't drink any." Because he said, "How to have it all the time?" He said, "So I set it aside." See, there's nothing matter with having it. It's like anything. You know, you can take food that's good for you and just get crazy on it. That's not good for you. See, God don't want us bound or anything. That we're free. Hallelujah. That we can really do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, was Paul lying? He made the statement about there ain't anything forbidden from him. Was he lying about that? See, he made choice what he used or did. That's true freedom. You ain't there if you don't have that choice. He said, for him, everything's okay, but he said, all things not expedient. In other words, there's certain things, best you don't do. But see, I don't get nervous if I see, it's like some Christians, they go wild if they see, anything going on. I remember down out in Nebraska, my grandkids were living out there. And they were always fussing with each other all the time. And they made this big thing over it. They saw somebody smoke. That person's smoking. I said, don't worry, they ain't sinning as much as you guys have been. I said, you fuss with each other all the time. You say you're Christians. I said, you're a lot worse off than he is. I'm Mr. Popular. I just want to tell you. No. I watch Christians. You know how many times I have to keep my mouth shut. Christian complained about something. And I'd like to say, hey, we want to talk about what you've been doing. Don't get fussing over there on that. Oh, smoking's terrible. Well, I'll tell you, they were doing worse than what that person was doing because they're Christians. Somebody doing something natural, but see, they don't see themselves. You know, I'm just more pure than the rest of you guys. That's what it is. I'm so darn holy. I've been made holy by God, but it has not been by works. I'm righteous today, and it's not by works. It's not I've done everything right this week. How about it, hon? I didn't do everything right this week, did I? No. And you know what? But I'm just as righteous. I'm just as righteous as God is. And it's by faith. And I don't let the devil beat me up on stuff. Because he'll beat you up every time there when you go over to the works place. You'll go ask God to forgive you when you do something wrong, but you won't get over it. If you don't understand this thing, if you don't understand this freedom and this righteousness and the holiness, your mouth won't get in line. Your mouth won't. And around us, we'll build things that aren't really that good, cause us problems. Let's go on and read here. Verse 16 says this. This is a wonder. As this goes on, revelation of God says, therefore, it is of faith, this righteousness we have, it's of faith that it might be according to grace. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now understand this about grace. If you don't understand how to operate in the areas of faith and understand this, I don't care how much grace God has for you, you will never get into it. Grace is only ever gotten into by faith. Can't get in by works. You can't get in by law. You have to understand faith. If you mess up, you want to understand how to operate in faith so you can get God's grace in your life to change things. This is what the church does exactly opposite. You change things, then you can get into grace. No, faith is what always, my faith. The reason you and I can confess our sin, that's a requirement of faith to enter that grace. I entered that grace because of faith. Religion always pushes you away from faith. You get it fixed, then your faith. No, I'm sorry, it works the opposite. Amen. It's like going down to the bank and you have all this money in there and you don't know the account number and you don't have the things down there. All that's sitting there without that number. It's just the Bible teaches us. See, we have access to this grace. Why? Our faith is our access to the grace of God. That's your key. Don't ever throw that. Don't throw faith away because you mess up. That's when you grab a hold of it. That maintains your righteousness. That maintains who you are and what you are. I can come boldly to the throne of grace when I mess up. I don't come bold. Most Christians, they're bold. They're bold when they think they're doing everything right. I learned to be bold when I'm a scoundrel. I go to God, He'll move for me because I know how to repent. Glory to God. I know how to use my faith and believe that He will work for me. You got to become that. or what you do is you stand on the sidelines. You're like out there a player on a team, but you never get on the field. You got to stand on the sideline and watch everybody else play. That's what it becomes. No, you don't want to become that. You want to be the player on the field. Hallelujah. You want to get out there on that field. And faith takes you out into that place of grace. And that's what you always have, that confidence. You mess up, you run to God. And it requires faith to do that. You've got to know who you are to run to Him. If you think He's upset over you, what are you going to do? How feel, you know, if you have something out with somebody and that stuff and you know, you're having a problem with a person, how quick are you to run to them about something? Well, see, I was taught as a Christian, you know, man, God's keeping a record of you, you scoundrel, you know. He has a file cabinet so big he removed other people's file cabinets because he's just keeping track of it. He's done used up so many reams of paper writing my stuff on and putting it in file, you know. Well, you know, we need to understand about this distinguished grace. God's, you know, we read the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. And then turn around and act like God don't act like it. We're not, it tells you, we're love and we're not supposed to be keeping track of people's stuff they're doing wrong. Like God does. Well then He ain't love. He ain't keeping track of Ed's junk. My God. I thought Jesus died for Ed's junk. See, get over on this thing. We have this perversion. Now sometimes in big, but we let those little things enter in. And they keep us our freedom to God and how He wants to fellowship with you. We're trying to struggle to fellowship and He's wondering, why are you struggling? Man, just come on down. The price is right. You can have all three curtains if you want them. You have to pick one. My God, I died for all of them. Come on down. And getting this, renewing the mind. All this stuff that we have, what I want to get to you is this. All this junk is going on because words have been said. Made us believe things. And we have believed things because of words. We even read the Bible, but we believed what people told us over what we saw there. We thought it was saying what they said and never said it at all. But we took it as that. It's like I always say, God's word's better than we preached it. It is better than we preached it. Hallelujah. And you know what? And it's always like that. The more we learn about it, well, we can preach better. We can say more glorious things about it. Hallelujah. Now here's verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. This is what God. God calls those things that don't exist. How did God create? We read in the beginning. Things that didn't exist, he said. We find out in reading the rest of this thing. Abraham. I want to get you that picture because I don't know how far we'll go here with this. But Abraham. What did God do to him? God had a guy and he made a promise that he was going to be heir to the world. He told him he was. He's going to be, out of him is going to come nations. This guy has no children. The first thing God did to him was this. I'm changing your name. I'm giving you a new word. Your name's Abraham, the father of nations. Your wife? I'm changing her name to Sarah, the mother of multitude. Why? Why did he do that? To get them to start saying it. He gave them words. See, God gives us words in here. What you talking? When your problem arises, you got words here. What you say? What did you say? Now, you don't get these words and say them one time. Can you imagine? I want you to see this. It's 10 years from the time God does that till the child shows. For 10 years, this man's walking around calling himself. He's a guy, and he got to look over at his wife, who don't have no kids. He's 90 years old. He's 90 years old when it's happening. His wife's 10 years younger than him. He's 90. She's 80. God does this. God didn't change it in me. He's walking around. Can you imagine people? What's your name? My name's Abraham. Where's your kids? You see, I can see why God put Abraham in the place. See, Abraham just obeyed it. He started calling himself. So see, when he had to call his name, see, he's saying this. He has to go tell everybody else his name. Do you ever notice? See, God named people. We did something in this earth. Israel did at first, Israel would name people according to something. They would have events happen, they would name a person. They'd have a child and name them according to the event. Sometimes good and bad. Bad events happen, they name their kid after the event. But they do this. You look through the Bible. People turned out like their name while they're walking around. They respond to that name. Say, you know, people call the kids today some stupid things. Today, names don't mean nothing. They're meaningless. But understand this yourself. They got away from it eventually. Israel, they got away from it. When Jesus came along, when he was born, well, John the Baptist, and they said, you know, John the Baptist, hey, hold it. You're going to call him John. Well, nobody in your relatives named John. You know, you're going to call him John? See, they got on naming them after other people, and they had a group of names, and this is what you do. So names became meaningless to them. See, this is why this in him book is good. You found out who you are in Christ. This is what I am. Here's what I am. And put it on your voice. Quit replying to people what they want to hear. Let people know who you and what you are. We don't let people know what we are. You know, we're praying this Christian thing and they might think I'm weird. I am weird, but I have become what I'm saying. Using words. Abraham began to say something. God gave him words to say. It's like with people. This is why, you know, people, well, I'm just as stupid. I just done that. Hold it. Don't be going around saying this about yourself. I'm this or I'm that. What are you? You see, God gave him a name. God wanted him to become. He had a choice. He wouldn't have to do it. Jacob came along, and Jacob, his name's Jacob. God said, that ain't good enough. Your name's Israel now. You're a prince. That's what you... He's walking around calling himself a prince. He wasn't a prince of nothing to man. But he's God's prince. He's God's prince. What are they called today? Are they called Jacob? Say, people, we're going to go over to Israel. We ain't going over to Jacob. See, God gave a name. People need to use it. We need to use the name. But no, to us, there's all things in our culture has held us back. It's held us back. Naming people. It's a huge thing. What we get somebody to say about themselves and using something all the time. We've lost the importance. God started off and this was important things. But man got away from these things. It wasn't important. But it's important what we say about ourselves and what we're speaking about ourselves. You know, the Lord dealt with me when I first got born again about my name. My parents named me Edward. Edward's a royal name. It was a royal name, and this ideas of a guardian and that stuff. It's a royal name, it's a guardian. And I saw within myself, you know, concerning things. Whatever was given me to a responsibility, I was always a guardian of it. I was like, this is mine, this is my territory, this is what I run. And I've always been like that. What a name. Didn't realize. Using that name, you become really strange. You know? And people today, they make up names, they don't mean nothing. I just like the sound of this. What does it mean? Nothing. So what are you going to grow up to be? Nothing. But see, just think about that, words. How we speak and what we do. God calls things that don't exist as though they were. And everybody said, we're supposed to be like God. Whew, I wish the church would get a revelation on that. We're going to be like Him. Just as He spoke things into existence in this earth, you have the ability. Your authority is because you're seated in heavenly places on Christ. You have the authority of heaven to bring heaven into the earth. You're here. This is, as long as you're in the suit that you're in right now, in this body, you have the authority to speak into this earth what you want. Do you know Jesus? Now, He's given authority over heaven and earth. We sit there. He sits up there. That authority's been given. He don't come down here and do it. When He sent the disciples out, He let them go out. He didn't go out and chase along after them and make sure they did. He handed the authority. Just like He handed the authority to Adam. What you doing with it? See, that's the thing. That's why we want to find out, what am I doing with this? What can we change? See, I don't know about you. I'm just getting revelation on this stuff. It's going in and looking. I thought, my God, I've read through this stuff so many times. And I said, am I seeing it for the first time? Am I? Studying through it, I'm looking, my God. God's working to do things. Hallelujah. Now it says about Abraham, verse 18, who in contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. See, he became what was spoken. How? Because he began to speak it. He was speaking, I'm Abraham. I'm going to have a crew, man. Just think about this, Abraham. Now, people in the nations, they talk about the Arab nations coming. More than that, Abraham married after Sarah and produced children, boys who became leaders of nations. There's many nations that came out of Abraham. Many nations that came out of him. But he said, what was what? He said, contrary to hope. I like some of the translations say this. A contrary to natural hope. He had hope. What was his hope in? Was in that promise. Naturally, it didn't look like it was going to work. But he had hope. That's why, you know, look to the Word. You have inside of you, I see people do this. They have a desire in them, whether it's to be well or to do something. It's inside them. But they won't follow that. They just keep making it a wish. No, if you got a hope, you want to get a hold of God's Word and turn that hope into a faith that takes that thing that you were hoping for, that you can grab a hold of it. That you can have it. See, the promise, believing the promise, made his hope a reality. He always wanted to have a child with Sarah. That's the lady he really loved. That's the one he loved. He wanted to have a child with her. And his hope got to. In the earth, there wasn't no hope. Quit looking around in the natural and trying to set your dreams. You'll never get them. Now, he goes on verse 19, he says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since it was about 100 years old. Now, from producing children is dead. He says, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, I want to say this. Get your eyes off of what you say. You're believing for something and your eyes are all over what you see. He did not consider what he looked at. He didn't consider what anything. He didn't consider the fact, you know, I'm an old dude here. We don't produce kids. This guy went on when Sarah died, produced more. Why? Because he got his thinking right. His faith took him to a place other people couldn't go. His faith took him beyond the norm. Most people are just happy that they get the norm. No, faith is to take you beyond the norm. Faith is to take you to that place. This are these words. God said you're going to have a multitude. Your nations are going to come out of you. And my name is Abraham. And so it's so. So every time his name is used, it's the reminder of the promise. It's the promise. And he focused on that, the fact, this is God's promise. You know, we want a visitation sometime. I have a visitation every day. God visits me every day. I see God every day. Abraham didn't have a book. He couldn't go look up the scriptures. I ain't letting Abraham outdo Ed. Most Christians, Abraham outdoes them. They think it's special. It isn't special. You have to have appearings. Man, you and I have been given that. We've been given the Word of God. God lives in you. God didn't live in Abraham. He showed up sometimes, but he didn't live in him. We got him in him every day. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. See, we need a revelation. We need to change our voice. We need to change what we say. Hallelujah. We're looking for a move of God, and God gave us one. Hallelujah. A more sure word than if an angel speaks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, given glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Woo! You need to get it on your voice. You can do that. If Abraham can do that, Ed can do that. I can do that. Hallelujah. God's Word don't work better for Abraham than it works for Ed. Abraham didn't have a born-again human spirit. I'm born again. My God. What would God's Word do in me? See, get yourself in that. Start talking to yourself from the heavenly standpoint. Look at yourself of where you're seated. The possibilities is from the throne. It's not from the earth. We want to bring what's in the throne to the earth. Hallelujah. And that's why we keep ourselves, Paul writing the Colossians, set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting right now. Quit looking around this earth and got your mind on everything else going on around here. All this stuff happening. Looking around here. No, look on up above, my God. Get in the book and you'll see above. I tell you, this is my window to heaven. Amen. This is a window to heaven. Amen. I want to say, I've had some visitations by God and got some wonderful revelations. But I tell you, 99% of my revelations came out of this wonderful book that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. Yes. Glory to God. Thank God for some encounters. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't live off of encounters. I've watched people have visitations, angels appear to them. And I watched them live lousy lives. Didn't do a bit of good because they never stayed in the Word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Doesn't preach me happy. Verse 22, and we're going to finish out here. It says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. In other words, he just said, Abraham didn't have nothing special over you. Hallelujah. As he walked, you can walk. God has designed us to walk by faith. That's the way He's designed you and me. He's designed you and me to walk in this area. Let's set ourselves today that this is what we're going to do. Don't sit on condemnation. Well, I messed up here. I messed up there. Don't look. Look ahead. Look up. For your redemption draws nigh. You know, our redemption, they were talking about the redemption of being taken, Jesus coming. But I'm going to tell you, there's things you need redeemed right now on this earth, in your life. And you set yourself, and God will show His redemption. How? Not by your great works. I'll tell you, you just believe the promise. Hallelujah. Walk around and talk the promise. Call yourself by the promise. See, God named him according to the promise. You know, Ed's name's Healed. That's my name. Healed. That's who I am. I'm healed. See, you got it. What do you call yourself? Well, I'm believing God for healing. I'm sorry. That was already given to me when I got born again. I was already got, healing was given to me. It's mine. I got it. My name's healed. Healing is the norm. Money, that's the norm. Being blessed, that's the norm. That's what it is. Hallelujah. I've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Why am I talking around trying to get them? I ain't trying to get them. They were given. I just go like if I go into the bank and I walk up and say, hey, I'd like to take something over. I transfer money this. I want to do that. They don't sit there and say, well, I don't know if we want to give that to you or not. It's in your account. How many of you think God's sitting up there trying to figure, when you claim something is yours, He's sitting there, well, I'm not going to send it. I don't know. Maybe I don't. Then He didn't bless us. That's all a lie. The Bible's a lie according to most of Christianity. It hasn't been given. No, when I ask for it, it's mine. If you can't ask for it and it's automatically yours, then this thing, whole thing, is a lie. It's not. It's given. Hallelujah. You're the righteous. Abraham walked down here and said, well, he had to go 10 years. Yeah, he walked around there, and I'm going to tell you everything God said was sure. Down here, we're supposed to walk by faith all the time. It's not supposed to be a part-time job. It's all the time. You shouldn't think it's weird that you have to walk down here in faith. Well, I had to stand for a long time. You were supposed to. That's our design. I can believe God forever how long it takes. I can believe God. Hallelujah. I'm going to be tough as nails. I'm not a whimper or a whiner. I'm not going to be that. Hallelujah. Faith is a treasure. It's not something to be, man, it ain't working for me. You know, it's like throwing money away. It's like throwing $100 bills out and then wonder why you ain't got no money. No, that ain't the way this thing is. Hallelujah. This is valuable. And I arrive at a place of faith, hold on that treasure. You hold on that treasure. You never let that, that's valuable. Hallelujah. That's heaven's value to you. Kenneth Hagin talks about, he used a thing because people use in the areas of money. He said he's listening to a teacher, and the guy said, faith is heaven's coins. And it's how we, it's our purchasing power to anything that we want or we like. He said, your faith can get you anything you want. Hallelujah. See, more faith, the more you develop in faith, the more you can take a hold of. The more you can do. And in a sense, that's the way it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fill yourself on the inside with a lot of coins. And then speak them coins. Don't speak your problems. Speak them coins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've done purchased that. That is mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My faith took a hold of it. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad I preached. This is better than, a lot better than I studied it. Hallelujah. Preach me happy. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you today. How wonderful your word is. You're so gracious, it's mind-blowing. You're so good. Lord, we're stepping into such a glorious future. There is so much wonder and glory that is coming. That is just stepping in. Lord, there's much here, but Lord God, you're opening our eyes to it. We can see it to grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're gonna use our faith and get real greedy and pull a lot of it in. We're taking a hold of this thing and we're gonna yank a bunch of this grace in. Lord God, the manifestation is gonna be so wonderful to so many. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, the floodgates are opening. People coming to the kingdom. The glory of God poured out in measures that man has never seen before on the face of this earth. We're running down the clock to the end, Lord God, and we're not going to be a dam in the river. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're just going to flow with the river. We're just going to lay back and let the current haul us off. Hallelujah. Wherever the glory wants to take us. And we just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, because in this last move of God, there's going to be such grace and mercy and love shown to the people of this earth. And there's not because man has deserved any of it. It's because you're so wonderful and you're so good and you're so kind. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we were nothing but good for the trash heap. But you said we were treasures. And you saved us and you turned us all into diamonds. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you did with us what we could have never done. You showed a value to us that we could have never become, but you made us. And we just want to say thank you today. I am so grateful to a wonderful, glorious God who truly is good and His mercy does endure forever. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.